5 and verse 6. This scripture's been on my heart all week. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Simple scripture. Psalms 85, verse 6. Look what this says. Will you not revive us again? It's on the screen if you don't have your Bibles. Look what it says. Will you not revive us again? That your people may rejoice in you. Will you not revive us again? That your people may rejoice in you. And we're going to just leave that up there for a few minutes, because that's the way you can keep looking at it. It's the King James Version there on the screen. Will thou not revive us again? Say again. Say again.
Again.
Amen. Again. It's really important. I want to point this out to you. This scripture, we're going to look at it here for just a couple of minutes. He says, will you not revive? What's it mean to revive? To make you alive. to restore life. Or consciousness, whatever. To restore strength, it means. Anybody feel like they've lacked some strength of late? To improve the condition of life. That's what it means, to revive, to improve the condition of life, to restore your interest in. Another definition for it means to live again. Think about that. Will you not revive us? Or in other words, will you not help us to live again? We'll put some other words in there. Lord, will you not give us strength again? Lord, will you not improve the quality of life again? Lord, will you not restore life to me again? I like how it says again. There's a reason for that. Because just like we go through seasons and we're in the winter season, I know many of you are longing for spring. Hallelujah. And yet, spring will come again. Because we know it comes after winter. And so spring will come again, and then it'll come again next year, and the year after, again. He uses, the word again is used here in this text just like a winter season. Just like in this time of year, there's no grass that's really growing, there's no leaves on the trees, it's kind of dull and yucky looking out, right? And so just like we know that when spring comes, life will bloom again. The grass will grow again. David will get to cut the grass again. The birds will return again. Things will get green again. You and I will visit the beach again. Hallelujah. Right. There'll be warmer weather again. I want you to begin to get a picture. Will thou not revive us again? Meaning where we're at and what we're enduring right now, it's not permanent. The conditions, the way we've been feeling, I know a lot of people have been feeling weary, tired, confused, maybe attacked. Come on, anybody else? Depressed, I heard that. And yet the word of the Lord for today, Psalms 85, verse 6, just go with me. Would you allow just the power of the Holy Spirit to begin to minister to you? Will you not revive us again, O Lord? Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Meaning, don't you understand that if we'll be honest, and I know we as Christians, we lie. I tell you that all the time. But if we would really be honest, we know that there are times we don't rejoice. Even this morning in your worship, you sang it, but you were not rejoicing. We sang the words, this is how we overcome, but you weren't overcoming. Don't kid yourself. Oh, we're about to go somewhere now. We'll sing the words, Lord, let it rain, but you're no more interested in God saturating you than you were almost convinced to get out of bed. Mm-hmm. Will you not revive us again, O Lord, that we may rejoice? And you know how you can know if you need revived? If you lack the ability to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know what I've learned? You've heard me say, not everything is God sent, but everything is God used. Thank you. Not everything is God sent, but everything is God used. But what the Lord continues to teach us, and eventually some of us will get it, is that he wants you and I to rejoice in him always. And again, I say rejoice. What I've really learned is that even Paul teaches us that we can find joy and peace in the midst of all kinds of suffering. God, the Word of God really teaches us that you and I have the ability to find joy and peace in almost anything, except the things that are of the devil. Did you ever notice that? Only the things that are of the enemy, that the enemy sends into your life, like people or circumstances, is it difficult for you and I to find joy and peace in. But see, we can be in the midst of turmoil and attack and things going on and even sickness in this life. And if God's using it for our benefit, we can have a peace in it, knowing that all things are going to work together for good to them that love the Lord. Amen. Preach it, Pastor. Will you not revive us again? Meaning the Lord kept bringing this back to me, and I really believe the reason is it's because he needs to revive the church again. He needs to, more specifically, to revive you again. So that the second part of the text, that thy people may rejoice in you. What's the word rejoice mean? We so often think that we know what the word rejoice means, and we think it's all about being happy or, you know, laughing or clapping our hands or whatnot. But to rejoice literally means to make a complete turn in the other direction. Meaning that when God pours out on you and I, when God does a reviving in you and I, it means that you have to change the course. See, oftentimes we're asking God to do a reviving in us without being willing to change course. Right? It'd be like this morning, us on the bus picking up people, I could have said, Lord, just heat the road. Melt the ice. And maybe the Lord said, no, you better not go down. Getting down out of City's house can be scary on that hill. It's like one big sled. And yet, if I'm asking the Lord to do something great in our life, oftentimes it requires us changing course, taking another route. And yet often what we're desiring of God is, Lord, revive us. God, do something extraordinary. God, show up and show off in our life, but we're not willing to change course. Not willing to take a different road to get there. Are you following me? To revive, God wants to revive you and I again. He wants to recover you from your condition. Think about that. Meaning where you and I are right now, I don't even think I'm going to preach the fullness of this message because I'm fixing to give an altar call. Meaning the condition of our life right now, God says it's not of me. Does it look like God? Does it act like God? Does it walk like God? Does it talk like God? And I don't know about you, but I see a whole lot of, and I saw churches this morning canceling church and stuff because of a little bit of ice. I never recommend people coming out when they don't feel it safe, but I'm going to tell you something. We've canceled because of COVID. We've canceled because of an election. We've canceled. I mean, I'm not kidding you. People have canceled for all kinds of reasons over the last few months, and they're sending a bunch of people to hell that are not prepared for the end times. You can say what you want about me, but I'll always give you truth. And so we're not ready. God's talking about a reviving. We're talking about, and there's been churches been praying for revival for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and nothing's happened. You know why? Because they haven't changed course. We can't have our cake and eat it too. God says, no, there has to become a point in our life where he says, I need you to change course. In other words, I need you to change your mind. talked on that a little bit last week. Will you not revive us again, O Lord? Lord, will you not give us strength again? In other words, God's saying he doesn't want you and I to have to live depleted, far below the life he's intended for you and I. He doesn't want us or desire us to have to live depressed. God's desire for you and I is not that we have to live full of anxiety, weary, burdened down, heavy-hearted, worried about tomorrow when we're not even through today yet. Come on, somebody. And yet that's exactly what we do. Worrying about everything that you and I can't change. Everything that we can't change. There's a powerful little story. Lord Jesus. We're going to skip the message as prepared. We've been doing that a lot lately. Oh, hallelujah. There's a powerful scripture in 2 Kings chapter 4. About a woman. In fact, you can turn there if you got your Bibles. Hallelujah. Yeah, 2 Kings chapter 4. Just the first couple of verses. You're familiar with it, I'm sure. It says, and a certain woman, I love that. God uses it in his word. He says, and a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know your servant feared the Lord. And the creditors are coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. I preached a message one time. The creditors are coming. And everybody who's ever gotten collection notice knows that I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Verse 2, So Elisha, I'm laughing at myself, it's all right. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go, borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you. And your sons then pour it into all the vessels and set aside the full ones. So when she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. There's some awful goodness right there. What it said right there. Verse 6, now it came to pass when the vessels were full. If you write in your Bible, you can underline that. When it came to pass when the vessels were full. Full. That she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. I wanted to preach the fullness of the message. What I had planned to preach was running on empty. Running on empty. How many have ever run your car on empty? Praying it to the gas station. Some of us know our car so well, you know the empty really doesn't mean empty. You know you still got 25 miles, right? I know my car that even though it says I got 0 miles to empty, I know I still got a few more in there. I want you to think about this text. The Bible says that the oil continued to flow for her as long as there was vessels. But when there were no more vessels and all of them were full, the oil ceased. I want to pose a thought to you that maybe the reason the church and we as the people of God are not revived is because we're full already. And I don't mean full of Him. You know what I've learned about God is that He desires that you and I be empty. Because in order to be filled, you have to have space to be filled. In order for my glass up here, I've done different illustrations, and I did one once with a pitcher. In order for that glass to contain water, to be able to have any added to it, I've got to take some from it. I really believe that part of the reason that we've not yet attained a place in God, in the body of Christ, to where we are really revived and we maintain that reviving is because we're so full of everything else. There's really no room. The Bible said that as long as there were pots available, the oil, the little bit of oil she had in the house was being multiplied and it continued to be poured out. But the moment that there were no more jars available, no more that were empty, being able to be filled, the oil ceased. I really believe that a lot of times we spend a lot of time asking things of God. We'll say, God, I need You to set me free. God, I need You to pour out on me. Lord, I need a refreshing. Lord, let it rain. Pour out, open the windows of heaven. God, pour out upon Your people. We'll do all of that. And yet what God has said in return is there's no room for Me. There's no room for God. We've filled our lives with so many other things, there's not any room for Him. You say, well, we're here on Sunday morning. That's cute. But what we're really not interested in is God invading our life and messing it up at all. I want you to consider this woman's circumstances. She was, her husband is now gone. And she is in such a dire straits that she has sold literally everything she had. They didn't have anything else left but a little oil in the cupboard because she sold it all. To avoid the collectors taking everything else that she had. She was in a situation, a delicate time in her life. And yet I've often learned that God uses those moments when you and I are broke, busted, and disgusted, when you and I are in need, when you and I are depressed, when we're weary, when we're lacking the strength, when we're lacking peace, when we're sick in our body. God will use those as opportunities to fill you and I. Remember, we quoted it earlier, those that hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, they shall be filled. In other words, He's saying there has to be a place for Me. Right? You're hungry. Why? Because your stomach's empty. The only reason that we can eat is because we make room. There's room for us to eat. Hallelujah. And then if you eat and you don't have room to eat, that's why you feel so miserable afterwards. Amen. Anybody else just like that? You eat sometimes out of boredom? Or you just because it sounds good? And then you feel like, oh. The Bible says those that hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, they shall be filled. In other words, you can only be filled if you're first empty. If you're first empty. In other words, God is looking for a people that say, Lord, I'm empty. Lord, I'm really empty. God, I've been running on empty. And yet what we learn to do in life and society, and I believe our nation and our very lives, is we learn to just run on empty like we do our cars. We'll pray our car from one place to the other, and we'll know that it'll make it because based on past performance, we know how much we can get out of it, and we get used to doing that in the church, just sort of running on empty, running on little strength, running on little joy, running on little peace, running on even with anxiety and fear and all of the other things that we have going on in this life. And yet God says in his word, will you not revive us again, O Lord, that your people may rejoice? And so we end up serving God, coming to church, doing all the things that God has called us to do without being revived and without rejoicing. Part of the reason we need to be revived is that, so one, that we are truly revived, and two, so that we can find joy and rejoice in it again. In other words, change directions. In other words, where we're at, where we are, is far below what God intended for us. He has so much more for us. God doesn't desire that you and I have to stay on empty. But what I know is that God will use you and I running on empty to fill you and I. The only reason that this woman was able to get the oil that she needed, and the Bible says that she was so much oil, she was able to pay off her debt, and so much money left over that she was able to live off the rest. Hallelujah. Some of us are waiting on a change like that in our life. And God says, if you'll come to me empty, if you come to me running on empty, meaning God's saying, you don't have to come to me like it's all together. Meaning we've got to stop acting like we've got it all together, like things are okay, like we're not losing our mind, like we're not about to scream and cry and have a fit, right? God's saying he wants you and I to be able to be real, and God, it's time that you and I are real with one another. God doesn't want us lying to one another in church either. We're getting up and trying to give a testimony when we are breaking up inside and miserable and on the verge of a nervous breakdown. Will you not revive us again, O Lord, that we may rejoice in you, meaning that we would rejoice in him so much that even when hell is in our face, that I will bless the Lord at all times and praise will continually always be on my lips. That's what rejoicing is. That I can see a way out even when there doesn't seem to be a way out. Why? Because I know that I'm empty. And if I'm empty before God, then I know I'm a vessel that's waiting to be filled. But instead, we often come to God as if we're already full. Right? Sometimes we're just full of pride. Sometimes we're just full of everything else. Full of all the things that doesn't really matter. I want you to think about this woman and her sons. They had nothing. They had nothing. They had nothing else to be full of. They were in an economic crisis. They were financially strapped. They couldn't even declare bankruptcy. There was nothing to even protect. Hallelujah. God wants you and I to be a people that will come before him and say, I'm empty. So that there is something for him to fill, something for him to pour into. That's what verse 6 of 2 Kings 4 says, that as long as there was an empty vessel, the oil continued to flow. But when she asked her son, bring me another vessel, and he said, there's no more, the oil ceased. The oil ceased when there were no more vessels. I wonder what it is that oftentimes you and I have missed out on because there's been no room for him. I wonder what it is right now, as we were singing earlier, Lord, open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain, that as long as you and I sit in his presence and act like we're full, that you won't receive. There are people, we are celebrating today, we said earlier it's Valentine's Day, there are people that are stricken with loneliness and grief and sorrow and brokenness and all of those things, and yet God Almighty, the God that we serve and that we've worshiped this morning and so intently, no less, is ready and willing and able, and he will do in you whatever we ask. That's what the Bible says. And we say we believe that, yet we won't come before him and become empty. Vulnerable. No. Will you not revive us again, O Lord? Will you not revive us again? Lord, will you not give us life again? Lord, will you not give us strength again? Lord, will you not take me back to that spring season of my life again? Lord, will you not renew us again? Refresh us again, that we may rejoice in you. That I can rejoice in you. Rejoice that I can find joy in the midst of the darkest, deepest, ugliest pain, that we can find joy and peace and happiness and strength and all of those things and all the things of this world that are difficult and challenging, that we can still rejoice in him. See, that's what it is to be filled and have joy, meaning that I can be facing suffering and calamity in my life, but there's a joy that's deeper and that goes further and that I can trust in more than the calamity that's around me. See, what we end up doing is trusting in the circumstances around us more than our God. Right? We'll end up trusting, if we were like this woman, we would trust in the little bit of oil that we have rather than gather more pots for more oil based on what we have left. We don't necessarily come to God with a desperate hunger and a desperate desire for him to pour out, because we don't come to God and say, Lord, I'm empty. In other words, God is looking for people that are willing to come to him and say, God, I messed up from the floor up. God, I put on a really good face and I act like everything's okay and I smile when I want to cry. And nobody else knows, but God, I'm dying. God's looking for people that will come to him empty so that he can then fill you. But instead, we come into our worship and our praise and to our time of church service, and we sort of come full. So I don't need anything. Preach me something good. Preach me something I can tweet. Preach something good I can share. Not really interested in him filling us to the point like what happens with the woman and her little bit of oil. Filled to overflowing till she gathered more and more vessels for it to go in. See, part of the reason that we're going through some of the things we are is so that God can fill you, and yet we've not yet allowed God to fill us. We've just gotten used to running on empty. Hello. Meaning I'm used to the fact that this is all life will ever be. We get used to the fact that this is all church will ever be. We get used to the fact that we think the Holy Spirit is goosebumps and a chill down our spine. And we're not really used to the fact of when the Holy Spirit really pours out on you, he will mess you up, cause snot and tears, and cause you to do things you'd normally not be able to do. Cause you to twitch and act funny. Cause you to dance even though you don't know how to dance. Because he's pouring into you something greater and something more valuable. But God's looking for people that are willing to come before him empty. And what I know now more than ever is that the world needs a church that's full. That we're not really capable and able to help anybody if we're empty. Yes, life is going to deplete you, but isn't it great? The whole purpose of church and coming together is that we can come together and get filled up again. We sing that song. We were going to do it this morning. We just didn't get the time to do it. Fill me up till I overflow. And yet you and I will leave here and we'll get depleted and life will hit you and I. And yet God's saying, I need you to come to me empty. Come and let me know that you need me. That's what the scripture in Psalms 85 was reminding us of. Lord, will you not revive us or refill us or refresh us That, Lord, I don't have to be weary. I don't have to be broken. God, I don't have to be confused. That, God, I don't have to be angry anymore. That, God, I don't have to live like this anymore. And that, God, so that I can rejoice in you, that, Lord, in spite of all the hell, in spite of your haters, that you can rejoice. In spite of the people who don't like you, who talk about you, you can rejoice. Hallelujah. What other people say about you is what? None of your business. Let them talk. Keep going. Hallelujah. If you ever get a hold of that, it'll allow you just to be free of mattering and caring what other people think. Let them talk. I'm going to get full. Let them say whatever they're going to say. You're coming to get full. Hallelujah. Will you not revive us again, O Lord? Boy, there's a whole lot I want to unpack from this, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. We're going to do an altar call in like 2 seconds. Hallelujah. Thank you. Because I believe it's that important. Sometimes the Holy Spirit has a whole other agenda other than we do. And a lot of times we'll miss it just for the sake of making you hear me. Or saying, oh, a preacher didn't preach the full time. He didn't really bring forth a message. I have it prepared, but I want him to be able to do whatever he needs to do in you and I. Meaning if we came in weary, I don't want you to leave weary. If you came in tired, I don't want you to leave tired. If you came in stressed out about money, I want you to leave not being stressed about money. You say, that's crazy. That is absolutely what our relationship with God is all about. For him to bring peace to a troubled mind. When the word of God says that he is our refuge and our strength. In ever-present help in times of trouble, you've heard me teach it, that means he's the God of right now. He is not God of tomorrow or just when things get bad enough. You hear me? He's not God of just the worst crisis you can think of. No, he's the God of right now. That's why I love that God is my refuge and my strength, my ever-present help in time of trouble. That means he's God for me right now. That means he's my God of a financial favor if I need it. It means he's my healer if I need it. It means he's my deliverer if I need it. It means he brings peace to my mind if I need it. He's whatever I need when I need it. He's the God that I need right now. I love that. All that he asks in return is like the woman. When the prophet said to her, what is it that you have? He said, bring me what you have. That's often all God is ever asking. He wants you and I to be able to be real and transparent enough. The problem is we're a bunch of fake and phonies. That's true. Some of you can't be honest with yourself when you're standing in the mirror to really say what's true. We'll live in denial. Pretend it doesn't exist. Instead of acknowledging and admitting to God, Lord, I am screwed up. Lord, I am messed up, and Lord, I need you, and I'm going to come before you empty. I'm going to stop acting like I got it all together. I'm going to set my pride aside, and I'm going to realize that, God, I need you more than I ever realized. Will you not revive me, restore me, so that I can rejoice in you, so that, Lord, my life can take a new direction. I don't know about you, but I think we need some new direction in the body of Christ today. We need a new direction, and the only way new direction comes is by first getting revived, and the only way to get revived is first being empty. And there's a lot of people that are empty, but we're not necessarily willing to do whatever it takes to say, fill me. Meaning set aside our agendas, our ideas, and worried about what God might just do. Hallelujah. I was talking to a pastor friend yesterday and another one the day before that. And we were sharing about things. And I said, the one pastor said to me, he said, you know, one of the, I think, your greatest He said, if there is a flaw, he said, one of the greatest flaws that I could see, he said, is that sometimes you're just too transparent. He said, sometimes you tell on yourself too much. Sometimes I use myself as an example in the message a little bit often. Whether it's road rage or whatever, or when I walked in unforgiveness or bitterness, or when I literally walked and had hatred in my heart. Hallelujah. And the only reason any of that was able to ever get any better was you come to a place of emptiness. And you recognize that there's a problem. Hallelujah. And what I believe is that the world and our community and all the people that we reach, that they need a church that is full, because the world is empty. And the church that is empty has been trying to minister to a world that is empty, and it don't work. All they're able to offer are programs, and programs doesn't change lives. Programs don't give hope. Programs don't give wisdom. Programs don't bring spiritual impartation. Programs don't release the anointing of God. Hear me. The only thing that changes lives is a people in a church that is full. Full of what? The power and the anointing of God. People that are able to be full enough to be able to look at a problem and look at a situation and speak life to it. And so I'm going to ask you today, if you're one of these people that, and you and I have been going through periods of time where we're weary and we're weak and we're frustrated and we're depressed and we're battling things that and nothing seems to break. The Lord spoke a word to me this week that that breakthrough's happening. And I shared it on Facebook and everybody got really excited, but did anything break? What if I was to tell you that maybe it would break now? What if I was to tell you that it would break if you and I come before Him empty? Not that it's about me laying hands or any of these tricks that preachers can pull out of their bag, but it's about you and I coming before God in a position, in a place in Him, and just saying, Lord, I'm coming before You because, Lord, I'm empty and I need to be filled. Filled to where we're changed. Like the story that we read, that the oil continued to flow until there was no more room. I wonder if we would have just let God just saturate us today. I mean, saturated. If we all could just begin to get honest, I wonder what all God could really do in a church. I mean, how long has it been since the church of Jesus Christ has really seen what we call revival? And I'm not talking about a series of services. Those are boring and dead. Most of what churches call revival are pathetic. I'm just going to say it. I mean, take the sign down. You're no more revived than anybody in the morgue. Reviving is to make new again, to make live again. And yet we'll have services that we call a revival, and nothing's different than Sunday morning. And the reason is because we're not allowing there to be any room for Him. Would you just stand to your feet? Let's do this. Hallelujah. Psalms 85, verse 6. I want to read it to you again. Will You not revive us again, O Lord? Another way. Will You not give me strength again, O Lord? Will You not give me joy again, O Lord? Will You not give me happiness again, O Lord? Will You not give me peace again, O Lord? Will You not make me alive again, O Lord? God, will You not let the seasons change again? He does not desire that you stay in this winter season. He desires that you enter into a brand new season, that you can rejoice, as the scripture says in Psalms 85, verse 6. Lord, will you not do it again? Lord, will you not do it again? Revive us, fill us, help us. Glory to God. Without delay, I just want to pose to you today that for every person that is willing to say, Lord, I'll come before you empty so that you can fill me however you need to fill me, and that you're willing to get honest with God, would you come and just begin to pray? Come kneel at the altar of God. Lay down on the altar. I don't care. Stand at the altar or whatever, but just say, Lord, I know that's me. I've been running on empty. I've been running on empty. God, I've been putting a smile on my face when I should be crying. God, I've been faking it till I make it, and God, I'm tired of faking it, but that God, I'm coming before you because, Lord, I need, Lord, you to revive me again in this place. Lord, I need you to do something brand new. God, I need you to move and to pour out on me deeply, intimately, oh God. Will you not revive me again, oh Lord? God, make me new. God, refresh me. Lord, restore me. God, do what only you can do. In this place, I'm thanking God today there's some honest people. Hallelujah, in this place. Honest people in this place. Hallelujah. Maybe people at home that are watching, you just need to raise your hand since you can't be at the altar with us, but raise your hand, do something to signify to the heavens that, God, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need a reviving in this place. Hallelujah. I want to encourage every person that's kneeling or standing or laying or sitting before God this morning just to begin to get real with God and say, Lord, I've been in need of reviving for a while. Just begin to get honest with him. Say, God, I'm not going to fake it. God, I'm not going to smile when I want to cry. Hallelujah. Lord, will you not revive me again? Lord, will you not make new again? Lord, will you not allow this torturous season to end so that I can rejoice in you again? God, so that I can find joy in the things of God once again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want every person that's remained in your chairs, I want you, if you will, stretch your hands forward to every person that's lining the altar of God today. Hallelujah. And I want you to begin to pray. Pray for them. Pray for a reviving. Pray that today we don't have to run and leave this place on empty. Hallelujah. Pray that he'll fill us and fill us again. That he'll fill us to overflowing today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for every person assembled in the front of this place today. God, I pray for every person that's in their homes or in their vehicles watching online, that God, they say, that's me. Lord, that's me. I need reviving. God, that's me. I've been running on empty. Running on empty, barely getting by, barely able to maintain. God, on the verge of losing my mind. God, on the verge of losing my peace. God, on the verge, Lord, of everything around me collapsing and closing in. That's me, God. Father, I pray today in the name of Jesus that, God, every hindrance that would keep your people, oh God, from just voicing their concerns and making the requests being made known to heaven, God, we bind and we arrest the devil now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for an open heaven over this place right now, that, God, we won't just talk about a reviving, that, God, we just won't hear a cute little anointed word about it, but that, Lord, we'll be able to be immersed, Lord, and overwhelmed and poured out from the heavens. Father, we sang the music today, God. We've looked into your word even now. Will you not revive us, oh God, again? Lord, I pray that you would revive us again. Father, I pray that you would do it again and again, meaning that, Lord, it's an occurrence that happens over and over, meaning that, God, we never get to a place of being so full that we don't need revived. God, may we never get to a place where we don't need revived, but that, God, that's the danger area. That's their danger area. God, there are people that they're saying in their own mind, I don't need that. I don't need revival. No, the very indication of the word, will you not revive us again, means that it's an occurrence that will happen again and again and again and again. Just like being filled with the Holy Ghost, it will happen to you once and again and again and again, that he'll keep pouring out upon you. So, Father, I pray that, Lord, you would do extraordinary things. Lord, you said in your word that you will see if you will not do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ever think or ask. So, Father, I pray that you would do the extraordinary, exceedingly abundant right now in the name of Jesus. Father, that you would turn people's tears and mourning into dancing. Father, I pray that you would turn people's grief and sorrow, Lord, into joy unspeakable. God, I pray that you would turn our anxiety and our fear into peace that passes all understanding in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you would do a supernatural deep work in our lives right now. Oh, God, I pray. Revive us again, oh, Lord. Revive us again, oh, Lord. Make us new. God, refresh those who just need refreshed. I pray today in the name of Jesus. God, do the extraordinary. Set people free, Lord, from depression in the name of Jesus, as only you can do, as only you will do, I pray right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mighty God that you are. Mighty God that you are. We bless you. Lord, we praise you. Bless you. Lord, we praise you. Mighty, powerful, wonderful name of Jesus Christ. We love you. We praise you and we thank you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Running on empty. We're not going to run on empty, church. And when we feel like we're running on empty, we're just going to have to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm running on empty. Just like some of you run into your gas station, running on empty, putting along. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, thank you, Jesus. We're going to get ready and we're going to sow our tithes and offerings on the way out, and everybody online can join us in that. Can I just say, as you're getting ready to do that, thank you for faithfully giving. There's people who had to miss the last few weeks. Thank you, Terry. We got your offering and tithes. That tells me somebody's dedicated. They're saying, I can't be there. She lives so far away and the weather has kept her away the last number of weeks, and yet she sent it in. I appreciate dedicated people. God does too. Thank you for that. People that see us online or on TV that are just dedicated to the giving, thank you. Hallelujah. God blesses and he multiplies it. That's our prayer, that he'll bless and pour back on you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Amen. He's a God of more than enough, and he continues to be a God of more than enough. Y'all better get ready to see him be God of more than enough in your life. That's what we read about this morning. He took a little and made more than enough. More than enough that she was able to sell and get out of debt, somebody, and live off the rest. Glory to God. You know, every time I get hit financially, I said it this week as a joke, because of when I had family members die, they left money and house and stuff for all the grandkids. And I have, so that there is something for him to fill, something for him to pour into. That's what verse 6 of 2 Kings 4 says, that as long as there was an empty vessel, the oil continued to flow. But when she asked her son, bring me another vessel, and he said, there's no more, the oil ceased. The oil ceased when there were no more vessels. I wonder what it is that oftentimes you and I have missed out on because there's been no room for him. I wonder what it is right now, as we were singing earlier, Lord, open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain, that as long as you and I sit in his presence and act like we're full, that you won't receive. There are people we are celebrating today. We said earlier it's Valentine's Day. There are people that are stricken with loneliness and grief and sorrow and brokenness and all of those things. And yet God Almighty, the God that we serve and that we've worshiped this morning and so intently, no less, is ready and willing and able, and he will do in you whatever we ask. That's what the Bible says. And we say we believe that, yet we won't come before him and become empty. Vulnerable. No. Will you not revive us again, O Lord? Will you not revive us again? Lord, will you not give us life again? Lord, will you not give us strength again? Lord, will you not take me back to that spring season of my life again? Lord, will you not renew us again? Refresh us again, that we may rejoice in you.